Would you pray with me? Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for just a chance to come and worship you. And we pray that everything that happens this morning would serve to drive us deeper into our love for you. Help us come to know and love you more deeply this morning. We pray that your kingdom would come in our hearts and in the world around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to the East Hall service. Welcome to Christ Community Chapel. If you're watching online, welcome. Just in case you didn't know, we actually stream this service now as well. So if you're away and you want to see this one, it's an option. But it's great to be with you this morning. My name is Jimmy Cozy, if we've not met. My primary role here is to lead our student ministries, which I love. But I'm also glad to have the chance to look into God's Word together with you this morning. I know preaching's typically on the screens in here, but every once in a while, we'll have somebody live, and today is one of those days. Just a little bit about what's going on in my life. 5 weeks ago yesterday, my wife gave birth to our second child, a baby girl, and we're excited about that. But so I was thinking about what to do this morning, and it's kind of dark in here, it's kind of warm in here, and Joe's on vacation, so we should just take a nap. I feel like that. We're not going to do that. But each year, we have a theme here at CCC, and our theme this year is Thy Kingdom Come. And so over the course of this year, we're going to be talking about how God's kingdom can come in our hearts and in our lives and in the lives of those who are around us. And so in January and February, for the last few weeks, we've been doing what we've called a kingdom flyover. We've been taking a big picture look at the story of the kingdom. And so we've talked about how the kingdom was lost. We've talked about how the king came in an unexpected way. A couple of weeks ago when Jamel and Andrew were here, we saw how the kingdom can be played out in our lives. Last week, we talked about how the king was rejected, and then this week, we're going to talk about the sacrifice of the king. And in the story of the kingdom, the sacrifice of the king is Jesus. In the Gospels, which give an eyewitness account of the life of Jesus, we see something incredibly profound happen. Because Jesus comes and he lives this unbelievable life. He's sinless. He heals people. He does miracles. He does some really incredible things. And then at the end of his life, something unthinkable happens. He is the one who's sacrificed. He is the one who has to suffer to pay so that all of humanity can be forgiven for their sins. And so God's wrath and God's anger are poured out on Jesus so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be made right with God. But my question is, and this is a question that's been kind of like a rock in my shoe when it comes to my faith at times for me, but the question is, why did it have to happen that way? Why was a sacrifice necessary? I mean, if God wanted to forgive us, why couldn't he just do it? Why couldn't he just forgive us? Or if he wanted to have a relationship with us, why couldn't he just have it? Why did it require Jesus to suffer and die so that we can be forgiven? And so if my father has a will and my father has a kingdom, that means that my father is a king. And so the question that comes to mind at times is, why would I want a king who would do something like that? How does that work? I don't understand. But as I've continued to wrestle with that question, I've come to the realization that actually it couldn't have happened any other way. There's no other way that we could have been made whole. And there are three reasons why that I want to talk about this morning. The first is that there was a debt that could not have been paid any other way. The second is that there's a love that couldn't have been shown any other way. And then finally, there is a kingdom that could not have been established any other way. So a debt, a love, and a kingdom, all of which could not have happened any other way. And we'll start with the first one, the debt that could not be paid any other way. And that debt starts with sin. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And what this is saying is that there's something that is universal to every human being, and that it's that we sin. Every single one of us does this. And we sin when we disobey God or we live our lives as if he doesn't exist. And what God's word says is that that is universal. That's all of us. And sometimes that's hard for me to hear. I know sometimes it's hard for me to identify the sin in myself, but one of the things that helps me is the fact that I have no problem identifying the sin in other people. which the irony of that is that that attitude in and of itself is actually a sin. And so that's because sin is like a poison that's been ingested into our hearts and made us sick. It's not just the actions that we take, but the heart attitudes that are behind those actions and that lead to those actions. So I may not have murdered anyone or stolen anything, but there are certainly times in my life where I've hated somebody or I've been greedy. And that's because sin is like a poison that colors everything that we do. It's within us. We can't get out of it. And the results of sin are devastating for us. There are a few things that happen. First, we've been separated from God. Because of the sin that has been ingested into our hearts, our natures are incompatible with God's. And we talked about this when we talked about how the kingdom was lost. We can't be with him. And to be with him is the one thing that we were created for. It's the one thing we need more than anything. Secondly, because of sin, we have incurred God's wrath. Because to sin is an act of rebellion against God who created us. And because of that rebellion, that makes God angry. And because we're the ones who did it, that anger is pointed at us. And I know that it's not, we don't like to think of God as an angry God. We like to think of God as more of a loving God. But the truth is that love and anger aren't opposites. You can be angry at somebody and still love them. You can actually be angry at somebody because you love them and because you genuinely want what's best for them, which is kind of how I think God's wrath works. And then finally, the poison of sin has resulted in all this brokenness that we see in the world. Broken relationships, self-centeredness, oppression, prejudice, suffering, greed. All of these things are a direct result of sin. And so because of sin, because of this poison that has been ingested into our hearts, damage has been done. And the only way that damage gets undone is if somebody pays for it. When I was a senior in high school, I remember I got my first car ever, my very first car. It was a 2001 Hyundai Sonata, and I loved that car. And I'm not a big car namer. I know people who name every single one of their cars like it's a naval fleet, aside from the name that it's given. That's not me, but that car was special to me, and so it had a name because when you looked at it straight on, it kind of looked like it had a face, and that face looked like it's somebody who should be named Boris. So the car was named Boris, and I really loved that car. And you know how it feels, especially when you're in high school. If you get your first car, I felt like king of the world. I could go anywhere. I could do anything. I was the freest man alive. I didn't have to drive my mom's minivan around anymore. I had my own. And so one day I was leaving the parking lot after school, and each day I would take my younger sister and then one of my friends home from school with me. And there's an interesting thing that would happen when I was leaving the school parking lot. I kind of noticed details, and so I kind of noticed that, and maybe you notice this too at where you work or here, that everybody kind of leaves in the same order. So you kind of end up leaving with the same people every day. So I kind of knew who everybody was, where they were, and what they drove. And so on this particular day, I was leaving the school parking lot, and I turned and I headed down toward my house. And I got a few miles down the road, and I came to a stop sign, and I stopped. And as I stopped, the person behind me slammed into me and crashed into me and messed up my bumper. And so I did what you're supposed to do in that situation. I pulled to the side of the road. I put my flashers on. I got out to assess the damage and exchange insurance information. And while I'm doing this, I get out of the car, and I make eye contact with this other person that had hit me. And I could see the wheels turning in this person's head. And what's crazy about this is that I knew this person. I was in class. Like, he had to see me the next day. But I could see the wheels turning in his head. And he put his foot on his gas pedal, and he took off, and he was gone. And so I stood there frozen for a second because I couldn't believe what had just happened. And I looked at my bumper, and I was like, okay, that's messed up, but it's not that messed up. I can still drive. So I hopped back in, and I chased after him. And that's how I ended up on a high-speed chase through the back streets of Talmadge, Ohio, between a Ford Taurus and a Hyundai Sonata. It was wild. But here's the thing. When this happened, both me and this other person, we had a decision to make. Because we had both made the same realization that damage had been done and that the only way it was going to be fixed is if somebody paid for it. And so he was saying, I'm not going to be the one who pays. He's going to pay for it. And I was saying, no, I'm not going to be the one who pays. He's going to be the one who pays. And so we took off. But the thing is, damage had been done, and the only way it gets undone is if somebody pays for it. And on a much bigger scale, something similar has happened in the relationship between human beings and God. Damage has been done through sin, and because of that damage, somebody has to pay, or that damage won't be undone. There's no such thing as forgiveness without a cost. And that's the reason why there had to be a sacrifice. If you have forgiveness where nobody pays, that's not really forgiveness because the damage has not been undone. And so God couldn't just forgive us and smooth it over without somebody paying because that's not how forgiveness works. Forgiveness where nobody pays is not forgiveness. And this happens in our interpersonal relationships as well. If I do something that hurts my wife's feelings, in that moment, she immediately has a choice. She can make me pay for the damage by getting back at me, by getting retribution. And that's one thing she can do. The other thing she can do is choose to forgive me. But to choose to forgive someone is to say, you don't pay, I'll pay. So if she chooses to forgive me, she chooses to take the pain of whatever I did upon herself without getting the satisfaction that comes with getting retribution. And going forward, she still has to experience the pain of what I've done. But for her to choose to forgive is to choose to say, you don't pay, I'll pay. I'll take the pain. And so, since there's no forgiveness without a cost, it's clear the sacrifice had to happen. Somebody had to pay for the damage that had been done through sin. But the question is, why that way? Why Jesus? Why did one person have to pay for everybody? That still is hard to understand. And the key that unlocks all of this is the identity of Jesus. Because at first glance, it does seem strange that God would make one person pay on behalf of every single person who's ever lived. It seems harsh. It seems unfair. Until we look a little bit more deeply into who Jesus is. And I'm going to read from the book of John, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read 1 and 2 and then skip down to 14. Here's what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then down to 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I think in those verses, the key to this whole thing is wrapped up, because it says, in the beginning was the Word. And when it says the Word, it's talking about Jesus. So it says, in the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. And Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And that right there is the key. That's who Jesus was. He was the divine Son of God. He was God wrapped up in human flesh. So when Jesus was sacrificed, it was because God knew the same thing that we have just talked about, that there is no forgiveness unless somebody pays. And so through the sacrifice of Jesus, because of who he was, God says to us, damage has been done. You don't pay for it. I do. I'll pay for it. And that's the only way that that debt could have been paid. The second reason why the sacrifice of Jesus had to happen was to show a love that could not have been shown any other way. And a sacrifice is the only way that God could have shown his love. And the reason why is because sacrifice is the only way that anybody ever shows love. Sacrifice is like the language through which love is communicated. Those two, they're attached. They always come together. There's no such thing as love without sacrifice, and there's no such thing as sacrifice without love. They can't be separated. A good example is parenting. So I told you before, my daughter was born 5 weeks ago, and there's nothing like seeing a child be born, and that I mean that in like a good way and a bad way. It really changes the way you look at the world. But parenting is all sacrifices. And the sacrifices, they may not even feel like sacrifices in the moment, but they happen because of love. When you have a child, you sacrifice your time. You sacrifice your money. You sacrifice your independence. If you've had a conversation with me anytime over the last 5 weeks, you know you sacrifice little bits of your sanity. And those sacrifices happen because of love, because those two come together. We all sacrifice. It's just a matter of what we sacrifice and to whom we sacrifice it. The same thing happens in other relationships, in romantic relationships. We make sacrifices to demonstrate love to the other person. We sacrifice the freedom to have options in life. We sacrifice our time to spend time with them instead of doing other things. We sacrifice our money to give gifts and to do nice things for them, which incidentally, gentlemen, this is your 48-hour warning that Valentine's Day is on Tuesday. So if you have not planned your sacrifices, it's time to start thinking about that. But these things in the moment, they may not feel like sacrifices, but they are. And it's because of love that they happen. And that's because there's no such thing as love without sacrifice. Love without sacrifice is empty. If I say that I love somebody, but I'm not willing to give anything up for them or change anything, then it's probable that I don't actually love that person. And on the other hand, sacrifice without love is like torture. So if you had told my wife that she was going to go through everything that she's gone through in the last 6 weeks, but you take the baby out of the equation, that sounds terrible. If you said, hey, here's what's going to happen. Get excited. You're going to go through some of the most intense pain of your life. Your body chemistry is going to flip upside down. And then for the next 3 months, somebody's going to come along just about every 2 hours and tap you on the shoulder to make sure you're not sleeping. Right? That would not be a sacrifice unless there was a baby involved. Because love and sacrifice, they come together. And the greater the sacrifice, the greater the love. That's why Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down their life for a friend. The greatest sacrifice somebody can make is to give everything you have, which would be your life. And Jesus says that is the greatest way you could love somebody is by sacrificing your very life for them. And that's because sacrifice is the only way to show love. So if God were to want to show his love for us, the way that he would do it is through a sacrifice. And he did it through the greatest sacrifice possible. Philippians 2 tells us more about Jesus, and it talks about this specifically. So I'm going to read starting in verse 6. It says this about Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And this right here is what's so wonderful about the sacrifice that Jesus made, that God made through Jesus. In Jesus, we see that God is not a God who says something like this, hey, I know what you need more than anything is to be with me, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you just clean up your life, if you just get yourself together, take a few steps toward me, if you do that, then we can be together if you get everything cleaned up. That's not how God works. That's not what he does for us. Through Jesus, we see that God is a God who says, I know what you need more than anything is to be with me. I love you so much that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to step into your brokenness. I'm going to step into your mess. I'm going to walk right alongside you. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to make you whole again so that you can be with me and I can be with you like you've always needed. That's what Jesus did. It was the greatest sacrifice he could have made, that God could have made. He stepped into humanity. He became a human being. He experienced everything that we experience. And then he went to the cross and he suffered more than we could imagine. And he did it so that we don't have to. So through Jesus, God shows us that he loves us so much that he would come to us and he would pay our debt so that we don't have to. And it's not after we've cleaned ourselves up. It's not after we've taken a few steps toward him. It's right now in the midst of our mess, in the midst of our brokenness. He says, I'll come to you because I love you. Romans chapter 5 tells us more about this. I'm going to read starting in verse 6. It says this, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's another thing about love that's hidden in there. The first is that love and sacrifice come together. The second is that true love is always unconditional. It can't be earned. As soon as there are conditions on love, it becomes something different. It becomes more like a transaction than love. And so through Jesus, God has sacrificed everything for us so that he can be with us, so that he can heal us and make us whole. And he's done it for free. It's not based on anything wonderful about us. It's based on him. That verse says that while we were yet sinners, while we still had our backs turned, running away from God, he reached down to collect us to make it so that we could come home. And so I think there have been times in my life where I look at the sacrifice of Jesus and it doesn't make sense to me because I don't understand why God had to do it that way. I don't understand how a God of love could do something like that. But when you look a little bit deeper, what I began to realize is that actually only a God of love could do something like that. And that's because sacrifice is the only way to show love, and the only kind of love there is unconditional, unearned love. It was a love so deep and so wide that it couldn't be shown any other way. That's what Jesus' sacrifice was. The final reason that the king had to be sacrificed, that Jesus had to be sacrificed, was to establish a kingdom that could not be established any other way. And our theme for this year is Thy Kingdom Come. And we'll be seeing how God's kingdom can come within us and in the world around us. But in order for the kingdom to come around us, it first has to come within us. And that starts with the healing of our hearts, because our hearts have been poisoned by sin. And the only antidote to that is unconditional, unearned love through Christ. There's something special that happens in our hearts when we experience unconditional love. I don't know if you've felt that before. It's really unique. For me, I'm a big basketball fan and a huge Cavaliers fan. And so when my wife and I started dating, it was right in the middle of LeBron James's first tour of duty here in Cleveland before he left and then came back. And one night early on in our relationship, I think we had been together 4 weeks, the Cavs were scheduled to play the Los Angeles Lakers. And at the time, this was a huge game because the Lakers had Kobe Bryant. He was one of the best players in the league. And LeBron and Kobe was kind of a rivalry. Everybody wanted to see this game. It was a huge game. And I really wanted to watch this game. But it just so happened that the night they were scheduled to play this game, Emily's family had scheduled a family dinner at her parents' house for the whole family. And I figured it's not a good way to start off a relationship by saying, hey, I'm going to skip family dinner to watch the game. So I went with my better judgment, and I went to family dinner. And so it was great. We were there, and we had dinner. And after dinner, we started talking and just having a good time. But in the back of my mind, I started looking at my watch, and I started doing the math. And I started to panic a little bit because I realized a couple of things. First of all, Emily's parents didn't have cable, so we couldn't watch the game there. Secondly, my house was at least a half an hour away from her house. And so we had to leave in a certain amount of time if we were going to have any chance of getting back to my house in time to watch the game. And so I was beginning to get impatient. I was beginning to get frustrated. And I know that girls love it when their significant others get all bent out of shape about missing the first part of a sporting event. That's like the most attractive thing in the world to women. But Emily could see this, and she could feel it too. She knew what was going on. And so she said, Jimmy, I need to talk to you. And she took me in the other room. And I went with her. I kind of had my shoulders slumped because I was expecting her to get me over there and just take me by the shoulders and be like, get it together. But that's not what she did. Instead, she didn't say anything. And she just handed me a card. And I have the card. I'm going to read it. It's dated December 19th, 2007, which is almost 10 years ago, which means that my life is slowly slipping away from me. But it says this: Dear Jimmy, I know this is not Christmas yet, but I was hoping you'd be able to take a present early. I've so enjoyed spending time with you and getting to know you these past few weeks. I wanted to do something special for you. I hope you're free tonight. Please call your mom and ask if you can come with me to the Cavs game tonight. Cavs versus Lakers, LeBron versus Kobe, you and me, club seats. What do you say? Little Heart and Emily. I think I actually bought her engagement ring that night on the way to the game. But in that moment, I experienced unconditional love. I experienced an act of love that I had not earned at all. In fact, if anything, I had earned the opposite. And that type of love does something to our hearts. There's something about our hearts that responds to that, especially when we know we don't deserve it. It's the same reason Why, if you pay for somebody's order behind you in the drive-thru line at Starbucks, you're liable to start a chain that goes on for an hour. It's because there's something about giving and receiving unconditional love that just feels like what we were made for. It just feels right. And that's because unconditional love is the antidote to the poison that has ingested into our hearts. But not the little acts of unconditional love that we can do for each other. These are like a taste. What we need, the way to heal our hearts, is through the unconditional love of God that's shown to us through the sacrifice of Jesus. And this is the gospel, that we had a debt that we could have never paid, but through Jesus, God paid it for us so that we could experience a love that we could never imagine. That's why when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he makes it sound so valuable. He says things like, the kingdom of God is like a pearl. And a merchant saw this pearl and he went and he sold everything else that he had so that he could have that pearl. Or he says, the kingdom of God is like treasure that's hidden in a field. And a man found that treasure and he went and he sold everything else that he had so that he could buy that field. It's because the unconditional love of God through Christ's sacrifice is the antidote. It's what heals our hearts. And when God's kingdom comes in our hearts, that's where it starts. That's where the kingdom starts. Because when the antidote flows into my heart, the kingdom will come there. And then my natural response is to want to give it away. I become a carrier. It's the same reason you would pass on in the Starbucks line having your drink bought for you. It's because when the natural response to receiving unconditional love is to want to give it away. But this kingdom, it starts with Jesus. It starts with his sacrifice. His death was the antidote that allowed our hearts to be healed. And when this happens, his kingdom comes within us. And when that happens, we begin to build his kingdom. He begins to use us to build his kingdom around us by loving others, by sharing the news of his love with others, and by being agents for reconciliation and justice and mercy in this world. Not many kingdoms are established by the death of its king, but that's how the kingdom of God is, because it was the only way. It was the only way it could happen. It was the only way that we could come home when we had run away. And there's a really well-known parable that Jesus told. It's called the parable of the prodigal son, or the lost son. And in the story, there are two sons, but I only want to talk about one of them today. So the essence of the story is this. There was a man, and he had two sons. And one day, his younger son came to him and asked for his share of the inheritance early. So he took his share of the inheritance while his father was still alive, and he left. And he went to a faraway land, and he wasted it. He threw it away. He ended up in the worst point of his life. And at that point, he realized that all he wanted to do was go home. And so he started walking. He started heading back home. And as he's walking, he's rehearsing in his head what he's going to say to his father to make up for what he's done, how he's going to pay his father back for the damage that he has caused. And as he gets closer to the house, he looks up and he sees his father running to him in a dead sprint. Instead of pushing him away, his father embraces him. Instead of locking him out, his father opens the doors, welcomes him with open arms, and holds a celebration in his honor. He's rejoicing because his son, who had run away, has come home. Now, the only way that could happen is if the father pays the cost, because the son had nothing to give. And the reason that parable is so powerful is because that's the story of all of us. That's you. That's me. Through our sin, we had run away. And through the sacrifice of Jesus, God has made it so that we can come home. God pays the cost himself for the damage that we cause. Through Jesus, it had to happen because we see that we had a debt that we could never pay. God paid it for us so that we could experience a love unlike anything we've ever imagined, so that he could use us to build a kingdom that will never end. It's through Jesus that God says to us, I love you, I'll pay for it, it's time to come home. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus and for everything that you've given us through him. We thank you for his sacrifice and for what it means, for forgiveness, for redemption, for making us whole through him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I just want to tell you the band is going to come back up and play one more song to finish. As they're doing that, we have a prayer team that is here, and they're in every service. And so if there's something in your life that's going on that you want prayer for, I would invite you to come forward and talk to one of them. You can do it during the song, or you can wait until after, whatever you're comfortable with. But I wanted you to know they'll be up here in the front. They have little lanyards on, so they're easy to spot. So let's respond and worship together.